Hello, welcome to the Faith and Family Podcast. We are a Christian family community that aims to provide Christian values, and I'm Mariel Gutierrez. Is it just me, or did it feel like our kids grew up so fast during these last few months of quarantine, COVID, and all the different things that are changing in the world? Guys, my kid is a teenager now, and I can actually feel it.
Welcome to Teenage Land.
No, thank you.
I'm not quite there yet, you know, but you all know JoJo. He was like a teenager right out of the womb.
Right.
You know, yeah. You know, he's like, you know, but when he was born, they were saying like, you know, there's something about him. All the nurses were like, there's something about him. He's like, it's like an old soul. You could just tell.
Came out and with a fedora, right?
Right. But no, he's going to be 8 this year.
Yeah.
And, but still, you know, I can see the changes, you know, I can see the changes where he's, you know, he wants to close his door because he feels like he needs privacy. And I'm like, what privacy? You don't even pay no rent up in here. Like, until you got a job.
He's always been so sassy.
Right. The other day I was like, why is your door closed? And he's like, I need privacy. And then he's starting to notice that he's got a mustache. He's beginning to have a mustache.
Oh.
And I'm like, what had happened was, I was in the bathroom and I'm like, you know, putting my face on and stuff. And he comes in and he starts looking in the mirror and he's all like looking at himself. And he's like, Mom, I'm getting to have that mustache. And I'm like, yeah, look at you. And he goes, but you do too. And I'm like, so those are the changes in my soon to be 8-year-old boy going to be like,
wow.
20.
Yeah.
Love it. You know, my kids, I want to talk particularly about Jasmine. She's 12 now. So she's preteen.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you know, Jasmine has always been more the quiet one. You know, her confidence is really building and, she's being more vocal, which I like. And she's been taking a lot of initiative. And I think it's maybe because she's my firstborn. I mean, she took initiative to do me and Harmony's laundry and surprise the heck out of us.
Wow.
Last
week. Are you going to be one of the lucky ones and get one of the like fabulous teens?
No, I think because she's a girl, I don't know, but I actually got teary eyed because, I think it's, you know, she's getting closer. This pandemic thing, her brothers are close to her. So she's really building confidence. It's interesting watching her personality develop. So we'll see where this is going to lead us.
Wow, that's good. I live in teenage land. I have 3 teenagers in this house.
You're deep in it, girl. Yes.
I am from like 13 to 19. Yeah, 13, 16, 19. You know, there are good things and there are some hard things that come along with it. And I've learned that teenagehood is expressed differently. Each of my boys are like different kinds of teenagers. Like when Russell entered teenagehood, he was the anxious, emotional teen, crying all of a sudden for like the smallest thing or no reason at all that I can see, you know, and very emotional and expressing himself through art and comics and film. He's like the bleeding heart teenager. But when Andrew became a teenager, it was like brain fog teen. He is the kind that like, just like, he's like, huh? What's going on? What happened? we'll show up somewhere and he'll be like, Mom, I'm like, what happened? He's like, I forgot to wear shoes. But David is emerging to be the Mr. Cool and Suave teenager. He went and had his hair permed.
Wow.
He's a very high risk taker. You know, like he takes risk and which comes with a lot of money. He's the
expensive risk. Yeah. I don't know how to feel about that because like my daughter, I mean, she's always been sensitive. You know, she's always been emotional. I don't know if it's because she's a girl. I think that would you know, I think just kids sometimes are, right? Like whether you're a boy or a girl, sometimes you're just sensitive. And she was always like, she always felt everything so strongly, even when she was little. So I already kind of anticipated what kind of teen she was going to be, you know. I imagined that was just going to be amplified, and I was kind of right, you know. But there was just this one day where we were trying something new. I don't know if y'all have tried bar, okay, but it's all the twitch muscles and it's very hard. It looks really easy. So anyway, we were attempting it for the first time. And then I looked over at her and she had these like big old tears while she was like squatting on her toes, you know? And I was like, is it that painful? Are you okay? And then she just bursted, you know, into tears and like cried and sobbed. And she was like, why is everything so hard? And I was like the workout or like life, like which one? So like that's what I'm trying to navigate right now. Like I'm sure that there isn't just like one way, like how do you deal with it, here's how you deal with it, you know. But that is something. What do you guys do?
You know, I've done a lot of reading on teenagers and you know, and the phases that they go through, and one thing that I learned is about their brains, you know, like a teenage brain. And even though they look like adults in their brain, they're so not adults yet, you know? And so because they look like adults, we project, you know, we want them to act like it.
We assume that they should know better. Yeah.
Yes. We expect them to behave a certain way, to make certain choices, but then their brains are still very underdeveloped. And so like, to simplify it, if I could simplify it for you guys, what I've read is that there's that the upper brain and the lower brain. So the upper brain has that prefrontal cortex, which is in charge of rational thinking, you know, practical decision making, being able to like plan out the future and just making rational decisions. That's the upper brain, right? The lower brain is, you know, the limbic system, the amygdala is in charge of emotions. And, so the teenage brain is still developing that upper part. And so that's why they seem irrational, you know, like they feel more than they think. Like what you were saying about Matea, she feels everything. She doesn't think through it as much. And and that's one thing that I read about the teenage brain. They feel more than they think. And so they act out, they act irrational, and then we expect them to behave like adults. So we're getting, you know, upset with them. And why are they thinking like this? And we're thinking all of these horrible things about our teenager, but it's not personal, you know, it's biological. And knowing the development of their brain has helped me to deal with a lot of the teenage quirks. And experts believe that the adolescent brain doesn't actually phase into adulthood until the age of 25. It's kind of scary because it means we actually release them, or, you know, a soft release
sometimes too early,
before their prefrontal cortex is developed. Yeah. And when I think about myself, I was married at 24.
Oh, and
that explains a lot of my life.
We're missing parts of our brains.
Yeah, so that is crazy, right? So, but the more you read up on the topic, the more patient you become with your teenager and the process that they're going through. I think it's really important. I read this, and this one really like sang out to me. A tip for dealing with your teenagers is to remember connection before correction. You know, and it's really important to continue connecting with your teenager, even though you feel like they're being weird and you want to get as far away from that weirdness as possible. You know, like continue to connect with your teenager. Be in the know what the trends are. Sometimes, like, you know, it's a different generation, and we kind of like, as older people, as adults, you know, we don't understand it as well. But like, I don't know, as a middle school teacher and as a parent of teenagers.
Oh, you see it a lot.
Yeah. In dealing with my teens, it's better for me to be vulnerable and honest with them instead of projecting an image of perfection. Like, when I was young, I did everything right. You know, if I come across that way, I'm not as effective in connecting with them. Okay, so it's important to be in the know, to understand what's going on in their world, to know who their friends are. They're going to be weird and erratic, and that's something we can't control. That's why it's important to be in the know and to make sure that they're surrounded by other Christians who care and are constantly reminding them about their faith, so that they don't make any unwise decisions.
You know, that makes a lot of sense, because when I was growing up, I was always involved in the youth organizations of the Church of Christ. And I really learned the importance of having a relationship with God. And, you know, it made me confident and helped me make good decisions. And, you know, and I had friends that reminded me to do the same at all times, you know? Yeah. So, and that's really what I want for my kids. I want them to be surrounded by others who have a good relationship with God, and so that they can make good decisions. So when they do make mistakes, right away, they think about, okay, how can I have this corrected so that I have a good relationship with God? So I love that.
I agree with you, Jewel, because when I was growing up, the youth group that I was involved in at church was my saving grace so many times, you know, like when I was having weird emotions or contemplating bad decisions, they were always there to kind of talk me through it and help and remind me about what our focus is in life, and do it in a way where we were having a good time.
That's cool. Okay. That's really actually a comfort to know. And, you know, the great thing is Matea is blessed to be surrounded by a lot of people that she looks up to, like at church. She's a part of the youth group, right? She is she's an officer in the youth group. And that means, you know, she helps the youth group plan things, and they do edification things. That means, like, you know, help each other out, and they do skits and like really cute things to encourage one another and the group itself, right? To help strengthen that group. But I think that the great thing actually is that, she has a lot of like older youth group members to look up to. You know, a lot of these, they're not kids anymore. A lot of these young adults used to take care of her during children's worship service, right? And they've seen her throughout like the many phases as well, you know, maybe not in the capacity a parent would. But the great thing is that they know her. They look out for her even during these times. Sometimes they'll text her, you know, hey, how are you holding up? And I think that, yeah, even just them, like, it's not just me and my husband, you know, checking in on her. It's like the young adults in our church that have gone through it, that understand her and that are looking out for her. I think that has been actually phenomenal for her. It's been a great not a parent supplement, you know, but it's been great. That part's been great.
It's so anyway, like village, right? When they say there's your village.
There's the village, sometimes in unexpected places, because I still kind of see them as like little kids when they were, you know, but now they're young adults and they're helping my kid out. So it's great. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to thank you, ladies, for being on the call with me today. I really needed to hear your voices and all your wisdom, you know, and I wanted to thank everyone that's listening to this episode of Faith and Family as well. Remember, it's going to be a rough age between 12 to 25, apparently, right, Emmerich?
That's what they say, and it has been.
But, you know, let's not take it personal. That's what I'm getting. I'm not going to take it personal anymore, right? It's not us. It's them, but it's okay that it's them, because it's part of growing up.